Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
Context of white supremacy, Gusty Renegade and Justice in for another program, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of racism, white supremacy. Today's date, Thursday, November 24th, 2011. Racist man and racist woman, they do not take holidays. I don't think victims should take holidays either. To the best of our ability, we should really make an effort, invest our time and energy in replacing white supremacy as soon as possible. Our guest for today's program, always a pleasure to have her on the program, to hear her views on just ways that we can go about getting cracking, to put racist man and racist woman out of business. She's the author of The ISIS Papers, The Keys to the Colors, Third Generation General and Child Psychiatrist. As I said, we're just always super appreciative for her being so generous with her time and energy, Dr. Frances Kress-Welsing. Dr. Welsing, are you with us?
Yes, now I'm having trouble hearing you again.
Are you able to hear me now?
I'm able to hear you now. You need to keep your voice at that level. So, I mean, it's drifted way away.
Wow. Okay. Is it clear now? You can hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Right on. Again, thank you so much for sharing some of your time with us. It's always just really a pleasure to hear your views on racism, white supremacy.
Now, is somebody talking in the background?
I think there was. They are not now.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry about that. I guess before we get started, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
As I said, just trying to stay warm. I'm jealous that your weather is actually better than ours this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of listeners, we have all been paying attention to what's been happening at Penn State with the whole allegations of pedophilia against Jerry Sandusky, white male. I know you've been following that incident as well. What are your initial thoughts on what happened at Penn State?
Well, it certainly is a very, very great tragedy, and we haven't heard yet to what extent the majority of children, we haven't heard whether there are many black children that were affected in this somehow that is not being reported at all in the newspapers, but it's a great tragedy. But we are in a system and culture, the system and culture of racism, white supremacy, where I maintain that sex is a major, major problem. And I would refer the listeners to my book, The ISIS Papers, The Keys to the Colors, and the essay that I wrote. I wrote it back in 1976 called The Symbolism of Ball Games in the System of Racism, White Supremacy. All ball games are symbolic expressions of sexual activity. And so if people are certainly, I mean, this is at a deeper level of understanding, but if you do understand racism, white supremacy, and you do understand the symbolism that has developed within that system, and so as those who have read the essays know that I say that the football game of football is a big brown ball going through some white upright legs at the end of the field. So sex is a major presence in the game of football and other ball games. So it's not surprising that we see sexual events. But, you know, even myself, I wasn't prepared to know the specifics of what we see as having happened at Penn State, that there would be all of these children that are being impacted by disturbed thinking in the area of sex. So, again, I encourage everybody to read the ISIS papers and to read that particular essay, and so you will begin to think at a deeper level about what the culture is about, what the system, total system, is about and its culture, and specifically what is going on and taking place in a culture that is designed for the genetic survival of people who classify themselves as white. They are a tiny minority of people on this planet, and they do have the profound concern, conscious and or subconscious, of their genetic survival on a planet in which the overwhelming majority of people are black, brown, and red, black, brown, red, and yellow, and the ability to produce those skin colors is genetically dominant to the genetic recessive skin color that is called white.
I know when I spoke with you, we discussed the fact that in Jerry Sandusky.
Louder.
Am I being heard now? Can you hear me clearly?
Now, but I don't know whether your mic is away from you or what.
Okay. I know when we spoke over the phone, we talked about Jerry Sandusky and his autobiography being titled Touched.
Yes.
Could you share just some of your thoughts about the symbolism of that?
Well, do you see it's just absolutely interesting, certainly to a psychiatrist, that here's a man who has a grown adult who has been inappropriately touching children. And so his autobiography, to have it named Touch, and at the same time he's denying, at least at the present time, he's denying that he has done anything inappropriately to children in a sexual nature, but he does talk about touching them. And it's as though it's very hard to ultimately conceal truth. Truth will come out, whether it's like a slip of the tongue, a slip of the pen. But his truth is being revealed until people in large numbers, certainly I believe that the people at Penn State knew for a long time about what was happening, but they chose to minimize the abuse and destructiveness of children to, I guess, be involved in gaining large sums of money. But the truth came out, even though it's retrospectively looking at what he himself entitled his book. And, you know, I have talked about in my writings and in my lectures that the very condition of white genetic vulnerability is a condition in which consciously, subconsciously, people who classify themselves as white and primarily males have doubts about the power of their sexuality. And so to end up attacking children, because pedophilia is not just something that is peculiar to Penn State. Pedophilia even goes back to Greece and Rome, where the states that are the foundings of Western civilizations, where adult men are having sexual contact with children. And so the fact that these grown men or grown man was having sexual contact with children says something about what he consciously, subconsciously feels about his own genetic or his own sense of masculinity. And at the same time, attempting to feminize male, black male children, if those were the victims, or feminize other male children.
You just mentioned that some of the victims, they might be black males. I know we discussed, and I spoke with Mr. Fuller as well, and you both pointed out that the news reports have not openly revealed the racial classification of the victims. I think that's significant, and I just wanted to get your thoughts. If you, you know, just whatever knowledge you picked up about the racial classification on the victims.
Well, for one thing, it's interesting that this story has come out around the same time that the media was given constant and continuous comment about the black Republican Herman Cain and his supposed sexual encounters or sexual harassment of adult white females. Do you see the media just, you know, talked about that. But then when it comes to now, and which is historic, I mean, it's a historic pattern in the system of racism, white supremacy, for white females to accuse black males of doing something sexual to them. At the same time, they say that their desirable partner is tall, dark, and handsome. You see, so this is not this kind of focusing that was done with the black Republican candidate, not candidate, but aspiring candidate, Herman Cain. Do you see, the color of the women was right out there, or the color of the woman was right out there in front, but in contrast, no mention of the color of the children who were being abused by adult white men. But this, you know, the abuse of black people sexually goes all the way back to the plantation, where there was constant and continuous sexual abuse of black females by white males, whether it's President Thomas Jefferson or all the other slaveholders who were sexually abusing black females. Thomas Jefferson was sexually abusing a teenage black girl, Sally Hemings. And so this pattern of the sexual abuse of blacks has been common in the system of racism, white supremacy, and here we have hints that this is what was also taking place at Penn State. And during formal enslavement, there was also sexual abuse of black males. Do you see, whether it was white female slave mistresses insisting that a black slave have sexual relations with her, and if he refused that he could be beaten and accused that he was seeking to attack her sexually. So sex is, you know, hopefully out of this, I would hope that people begin to really decide that they're going to look into this absolutely critical issue of racism, white supremacy. And this is the one thing that the system, dominated by people who classify themselves as white, they do not want to talk about racism. And this is this critical thing that needs to be talked about and needs to be understood. It particularly needs to be understood by black people, but people who classify themselves as white also need to have insight into their own behavior and what is behind it. It's not only significant for this area of the world, but it is also significant for what is happening on this entire planet, where the overwhelming majority of people are black, brown, red, and yellow that have been held in power by the system of racism, white supremacy, with the threat of death. And either I'm going to control you or I'm going to kill you. And people who classify themselves as white, who wish to be responsible people on the planet, they need to talk about this subject. But it's like the President Barack Obama said that the topic of racism needed to be discussed, but he has been unable to talk about it. Probably he's pressured into not talking about it. And the black Attorney General, Eric Holder, raised the critical question, are we a nation of cowards being unable to talk about this critical subject of racism, white supremacy. And racism at the bottom of this situation at Penn State is the issue of racism, white supremacy, just like racism, white supremacy is at the bottom and at the cause of everything else that we see taking place in this society, including the determination on the part of the conservative political party calling itself Republicans or Tea Party people, where their goal objective is to see that the first black president, that this man fails and that he doesn't have a two-term presidency, and whether or not there is the destruction of the economy of this country and bringing down with it the economy all over the world. They would prefer to do that, but to bring down this black man, because it is the black man that is perceived as the major threat to white genetic survival on the planet. And this is why I call my book The Keys to the Colors. This is what we absolutely have to understand. And psychiatrists like to, at least in the past, want patients to not just get medication, but for them to get insight into why they behave in the way that they do, because if you have insight, you can then begin to have the potential to control your behavior. But absence of insight, meaning why I'm doing what I am doing. And people who classify themselves as white, it's just like people are looking for jobs, whether, you know, all of the occupation groups that are in the various cities across the nation, and people are talking about the absence of jobs. Well, the system of racism, white supremacy, has to have most of its resources going to a war effort and for weapons, and those weapons are needed to secure the dominance of the white minority on the planet. But imagine those same resources could be used so that people of all colors could have education, people of all colors could have health care, people of all colors could have decent housing. But because of this fundamental fear of white genetic annihilation, then funds are being misspent. And the same sense of genetic inadequacy is responsible for greed. You know, whether we talk about the banking situation that has been pinpointed as a factor in the collapse of the monetary situation. But greed, when people feel inadequate, whether they're feeling inadequacy at the conscious level or subconscious level, then they feel, I have to have everything. I have to have more and more and more and more money, more and more and more gold. I have to have more of everything. And so then we end up with 1% of the people owning the vast majority of the resources and 99% of the people in a state of having less than what is needed.
Again, our guest, Dr. Francis Kress Welsing. I also wanted to make sure that I got out. I thought this was one of the most important points that I've heard anyone mention about what happened at Penn State. You said that this also, not only should it motivate black people to seriously, scientifically study the system of white supremacy, but also to take this as a major illustration of why we cannot be sexually reckless and just have, you know, throwaway children because there are racist sex predators in our midst. Can you really hammer that point home for us?
Well, you see, certainly it is. Remember when they had the Haitian earthquake and you had people who classify themselves as white running to grab black children from Haiti. And I have always wondered, what has happened to these children? What is being done to these children? We never hear anything about you know, where they are, what is happening to them, how they are being used, and at the same time, we have extensive pedophile rings all across this country and also in other parts of the world. So I think that black people should be pressing to know what number of black children were involved in the situation at Penn State. But that's not happening, tragically. And I think that black people, in all too many instances, are being intimidated from talking about this critical factor of racism because they think that they will make people who classify themselves as white unhappy and that they will be attacked for doing so. But if we are in a situation where we are respecting ourselves, then we have to talk about and we have to think about what is happening to black people and what is happening to black children. So we should be pressing. And again, the media is ignoring this question. And if they are ignoring it after saying that these were disadvantaged children, that's a code word for non-white children. So black people should be pressing. What is the information? Maybe there are no black children, and maybe many of them were black. But we should be pressing to know and to understand as opposed to thinking other people should value our children more than we value our own children. But this is, again, a reason that we as black people need to begin to take very seriously the reproduction of children and not producing children that we are not able to take care of. I mean, this has been a pattern since we were enslaved and black people were forced into breeding children so that there would be more slaves and more children that could be sold on the slave market. And slavery was a phase of the system of racism, white supremacy. We just have a continuation of the system of racism, white supremacy up into the present. And so we have a large foster care system where many people are having children and they don't have insight into the system, but they have been given to believe, well, you can have children if you don't have jobs, but the system will take care of your children. Well, many times children are not really taken care of and they end up in abusive situations. So the most important thing, you know, if I could make a wish on Thanksgiving Day, it would be that all people who are classified as black in this area of the world and throughout the world begin to understand racism, white supremacy, in the words of Neely Fuller, to understand what it is and exactly how it works so that everything else that we think we understand won't confuse us. This is the key to understanding the problems that we are confronting as black people. And this is not about hating white people. You see, it's a waste of time to hate white people. It's just like it's a waste of time if you're playing a game of chess to hate your opponent, or if you're playing a game of football to hate your opponent, or if you're playing a game of basketball. You don't waste time hating your opponent. You first and foremost have to understand the game, whether it's chess, basketball, football, or any other game, soccer, whatever, to understand what exactly the game is that is in play and what are the rules that govern it, and then how do you play offense, defense, or defense offense from your side of the court. And we are analogously on the black side of the chessboard, and we have to understand instead of we have been programmed as black people to think that somehow people who classify themselves as white are going to solve our problems. But this is the importance of understanding racism, white supremacy, that it is a system for white genetic survival. So you can't have your brain-computer programmed for your genetic survival and simultaneously maximally develop the people who are who you are thinking can cause your genetic annihilation. That's an impossibility. But it's important for black people to begin to understand when a person says, I am white, that consciously, subconsciously contained in that statement, in that five-letter word, I am white. That means that I belong to a tiny minority of people on the planet who are genetic mutations to albinism, and I am genetic recessive to the majority of people on the planet who can produce melanin skin pigment. Black people have the greatest genetic potential to produce skin melanin. And this is why we learn before we learn how to read. If you're black, get back. If you're brown, stick around. If you're yellow, you're mellow. If you're white, you're all right. Black, brown, red, yellow, these are different levels of the genetic production of the skin pigment melanin. And so this is what we absolutely must understand, and I repeat and repeat and repeat, this is not a discussion about hate white people, be rude or disrespectful to the people who classify themselves as white. It's not about this. But it's about if you are going to solve your problems, if we are going to solve our problems as black people on this planet, then we have to understand what we are moving in opposition to, because the determination on the part of people who classify themselves as white consciously and or subconsciously is that we have to be held in oppression, because if blacks are not held in oppression, then whites have the fear of being genetically annihilated. And so even the so-called liberals or independents, white people who voted for President Barack Obama, once he's in office and they see a black man and a black family in the White House, then people who classify themselves as white consciously, subconsciously begin to get nervous and, wait a minute, are we losing control? And if we lose control, then we can be genetically annihilated. And so get him out. And so then you find everybody sliding to the more conservative side. And people don't talk about, you know, people talk about the president has failed to do this or that. They could talk about that there are large numbers of people in the Congress who classify themselves as white who are spending all of their energies to make this black man fail. But they don't talk about that. They just say he has not done what he said he was going to do. Well, why hasn't he done it? He has bent over backwards. Can't we all just get along? Can't we all just work together for the good of the country, for the good of people, so that they can have health care and jobs, et cetera? The answer that he has gotten is no. We're not interested in that. What we are interested in is getting you as a black man out of the White House, because this is making us nervous. And this is why we've said you're not a Christian and you're not an American and you weren't born in the United States. All of these are disguised ways of saying we are afraid of a black person being in power, because our fundamental subconscious fear is that we can be genetically annihilated on planet Earth, because we are a tiny, tiny minority, fewer than one-tenth of the people on the planet, and we are genetic recessive in terms of skin coloration, and black is genetically dominant. Now, this, it reminds me of having what I read about George Wallace, who was the Alabama governor some time ago. And Wallace said when he went into politics as a Southern white man that he thought that the best thing for poor white people would be for them to unite with black people who were also poor and they would have political power in that way. And he said he found out that white people didn't care if they didn't have hospitals, if they didn't have schools, if they didn't have roads, that the thing that was most important to them is to feel that they were better than, superior to black people. Now, those feelings are, you know, to feel superior to feel better than, or I don't want blacks to have the same thing that whites have. I say that those are all expressions of, if the blacks are in positions of equality, then we can be genetically annihilated. And this was something that was on the mind of President Lincoln, who was called the Great Emancipator. Because he said, you know, yes, well, I'm going to free the black people, free the Negro, as a way of winning the war and keeping the nation united. But they cannot be equal to white people. See, if they were equal, imagine after the Civil War, if the enslaved African people, they were emancipated, and upon emancipation, everybody became so-called equal. And there was no paying attention to skin color. Then the white people would have disappeared genetically, because everybody would be mixing, but white is a genetic recessive trait. And black, the ability to produce black skin pigment or shades of black skin pigment, is a genetically dominant trait. So if everybody just mixed up, then white would disappear. And this is what the discussion that is going on in Europe, all across Europe, because dark-skinned people are moving from North Africa up into Europe. And the fears in Europe are the same as the fears on the part of white people in this area of the world. If all of these people of color are coming up into Europe, first of all, the white people are not reproducing themselves. Their fertility level is low. And they also need people to man the jobs. But if these non-white people are going to move in and the white women are attracted to the darker-skinned men, then the color of the people in Europe is going to change. And this was what was on the mind of Adolf Hitler. And because Hitler said he wasn't interested in the religion of the Jewish people, he didn't care anything about, if you read his book, he didn't care anything about their religion. He said they are not Aryan, meaning they are not white. And Hitler's whole thing was about white purity on the continent, so-called, of Europe. And that is the concern today, so that there is an attack all across Europe. And they put it in terms of religion, but they really are talking about the color of people. And so they talk about the Islamization as opposed to the coloration of Europe if we allow all of these non-white people to come into Europe. It's the same question about so-called immigration. Brown people coming in from Central and South America into the United States. And I encourage everyone to read Patrick Buchanan's new book. I guess it's The Suicide of America. I think that's the title, something. Do you see, will America survive to 2025? And all he's talking about, as he has talked about in his previous books, including Death of the West and State of Emergency, he's talking about white genetic annihilation, or people who classify themselves as white being overwhelmed by the people of color in this area of the world as well as on this planet. And so everybody, whether they classify themselves as white or whether they classify, or whether they are classified by whites as being non-white, meaning black, brown, red, and yellow, everybody needs to get the courage and the self-respect to talk about this critical issue of racism, white supremacy, and they need to be operating with a definition of what racism is. And I offer mine because mine is the only one paragraph definition that spells out exactly what this behavioral phenomenon is. And I'm the only psychiatrist on this entire planet, the only psychiatrist in this area of the world who has focused on this topic of racism, white supremacy for the last 40 years. And I've been waiting. Does anybody have a superior definition? If they do, let's use it. But they don't have one. But this is more critical than anything else because it's the cause of wars. It's the cause of not being able to send everybody to college free, for everybody to really have substantial health care, the same kind of health care that the people in Congress have, and the same kind of housing. You know, it doesn't have to be the same kind of housing, but decent housing, decent education, the maximal development of all children. But if people are functioning in fear, the tiny minority of people on this planet who are white, if they're operating in a state of fear that they can be genetically annihilated by the global colored majority, people of color are the vast majority of people on this planet. But the people of color in large measure have been inferiorized by keeping them in poverty and in disease. But if people who classify themselves as white at least begin to think, do we want the planet to destroy? Because that's what the nuclear weapons and all the bombs are not for, white people to bomb out the small countries in Europe and kill off the white people. These weapons are to fend off against the threat of white genetic annihilation. But all of these weapons cost trillions of dollars. And those are the same monies that could be providing everybody with decent living and health care and education. I mean, this could be an outstanding planet if the monies were used for the development of people, as opposed to, oh, no, we have to cut the school funding. Oh, no, we can't pay for people to go to college. Oh, no, we can't pay the doctors, and so now we don't have enough doctors to treat low-income people. Oh, no, we can't fund the hospitals because we have to be a war machine. We have to be able to make war if there's going to be white genetic survival. Now, this is a tragedy. And it's time for people to talk about it. You know, we need to have talk-ins. During the Vietnam War, they used to have teach-ins. And we need to have talk-ins about racism, white supremacy as a global system for white genetic survival on the planet and preventing white genetic annihilation by any means necessary. It is this logic that controls activity in economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. Those are the nine areas of people activity first delineated by Neely Fuller, because he was the first brilliant mind to say racism, white supremacy is a system. And this is what we have not looked at. You know, we've talked about slavery, and we've talked about police brutality, and we've talked about the disparate incarceration of black men, and we've talked about driving while black and walking while black. All of these are symptoms of the problem, and we have just been talking about the symptoms one at a time, and by the time we deal with one symptom, then another symptom pops up. And then by the time you try to put a cap on that system, on that symptom, another one develops because we are dealing with a total system. It's like a doctor who doesn't understand what the total disease is and tries to treat the symptoms one at a time or two at a time. But then the patient dies because the disease itself that was producing the symptoms was not understood. So this is the 21st century challenge. And Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois, in his book 1903, which is 108 years ago, brilliant black historian and sociologist, Dr. Du Bois said the problem of the 20th century is the question of the color line. That was his terminology for racism, white supremacy, between the lighter and the darker races of mankind. And then Neely Fuller came along mid-century, beginning in the 1950s, when he started writing about racism as a system. And so the challenge, now we understand racism, white supremacy. It is not something that has to be with us always in an enigma, a mystery that nobody can understand. No, racism, white supremacy is understood. All we need is the courage to deal with what we now understand so that this system can be replaced by a system of justice so there can be peace on the planet. And justice means no one is mistreated. No one is mistreated. And those who need the most help get the most help. Now, this is what we should be striving for. And I say this is what we should be thankful that we now understand. And any black person who is speaking, any black college professor, any black person in the Congress, any black spokesperson anywhere, who is not talking about racism, white supremacy, is doing a disservice to black people. And I will say that, and I will take the heat for saying it, because if we don't understand, so we can then take responsibility as black people for what is happening to us instead of, you know, we need to stop singing and praying and whatever, when it's possible to understand what the system is. And we need to all challenge ourselves to understand. And anybody who is soft-pedaling racism, and that goes from the White House to wherever, is doing a disservice to the people on the planet. All the people who classify themselves as white are doing a disservice to not begin to look in the mirror and be honest and truthful about their own behavior on the planet. So everybody has to get the courage to, you know, ratchet it up and take a step to another level of talking about what is actually taking place on the planet and what is really in the interest of all of the people on the planet. It's an obscenity for people to be talking about nuclear weapons and the mass destruction of human beings, I don't care what color they are, on this planet. That's an obscenity. That is an obscenity. And let me say this, that when human life loses value, you see, when the killing of human beings becomes a priority, and we are at that stage now, you see, killing of vast numbers of people in the Middle East, killing of vast numbers of people on the continent of Africa, whether it's HIV, AIDS, starvation, whatever, all of that is unnecessary. It's necessary for white supremacy. But see, when human life becomes of no value, then anything is okay. The sexual abuse of children is okay. Having children having sex with animals is okay, because human life doesn't matter. See, the planet is a whole. This is a whole planet. And it's not like something can take place in one part of the planet and not have ramifications in another part of the planet. So the whole approach under white domination, where killing is necessary. And so you have leaders talking about we have to kill and assassinate leaders of other countries. And then you show pictures of a beat up and killed head of state, and everybody is supposed to be cheering. And then we wonder why children on the playground or at school and high schools are fighting and killing each other. So you cannot say that the way to solve a problem, if you don't like somebody, well, then kill them. You don't like Gaddafi, well, kill him. You don't like some other leader of a state, kill him. Send your drones, send your bombs, kill him. And then tell children not to engage in being bullies. White supremacy is a bully system. It's a system of bullies, meaning take your weapons and kill whoever you want to kill. Now, this is what all people, whether they're white, black, brown, red, yellow, this is what we need to begin to think about. What is really the value system on this planet? See, people are talking about going out into space and looking for life in other galaxies. Well, taking what kind of message? What are the values? See, next month people will be talking, you know, this is Thanksgiving. People supposed to be talking about turkeys and eating and getting overweight. Next month people will be talking about Christmas and peace and the Savior. Who said, thou shalt not kill. So we really need to examine the hypocrisy, but what's going to allow us to look at the hypocrisy is to look deeply at the reality of the system of racism, white supremacy. Not for the purpose of hating people, but for people to say, wait a minute. Is this the best we can do? See, because as I said earlier, the whole dysfunction of the Congress, while they're arguing in terms of the budget, the real thing that is going on, we have to see this black man fail, because it is the black man that is perceived as the threat to white genetic survival. And we must try our best to get beyond that, to get insight into the behavior, because you can't have white supremacy forever on a planet where the majority of people are black, brown, red, and yellow. That this is what is winding down. This is a dysfunctional approach to life on a planet. To have the minority. See, people are what? Occupying Wall Street and talking about the 1%. Well, the white population on the planet is fewer than 10%. But this is where they are controlling the resources, and the 90% are going in a state of starvation in many places. All of the resources on the planet being used for the enhancement of the 10%. Well, this can't last. and there are people, tragically, well, we'll blow up the planet. If we can't be in charge, we'll blow up the planet. Well, all people need to begin thinking, is this the best we can do?
Context of white supremacy, Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, wanted to make sure I share with folks Pat Buchanan's book. It's Suicide of a Superpower, Will America Survive to 2025? I suspect a lot of information from a white person who's been pretty open about how he feels about how things should operate on this planet. I wanted to ask, I know you have talked consistently about in 2008 when President Obama won the presidency, there was reports record numbers of ammunition sales. You mentioned Herman Cain, hopeful for the 2012 presidential election. If it ends up being two black males on the ballot in 2012, I'm thinking that that might be, I know you've talked before about how the system will recycle. It'll go through the four stages and then start over, four stages of white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if it ends up being two black males on the ballot for 2012, that that's going to motivate a lot of white people to become much more explicit and maybe even overtly violent in the practice of racism, white supremacy?
Well, I can see, in other words, as long as white supremacy does, as long as there's denial about racism, white supremacy being the mode of operating, I could see that there would be people who classify themselves as white who will say, well, so that we don't appear racist, we will vote for the black man Herman Cain, and so then you will have a black against a black, and it won't appear to be racist. Do you see? On the surface, it won't appear that way, but that black man will just be carrying out what the people who classify themselves as white want him to do. You see, it's the same thing with President Barack Obama. Being unable to talk about racism. In other words, the power rests in the hands of people who classify themselves as white. And it's just like President Obama gets death threats every day and all the time. And it's just like the First Lady Michelle Obama was booed at the NASCAR opening. Racism, white supremacy is what obtains in this area of the world and on the planet. And so, you know, they could have Herman Cain going up against, just like Herman Cain has been used thus far to attack President Obama. And this, I believe, is the thing that has gained him the most votes that he has. But it doesn't mean that, just like having a black man in the White House doesn't mean that the system of racism, white supremacy does not exist. And at the same time, I'm saying that when it comes to voting for the next president, I do advocate that black people in total numbers should come out and support President Barack Obama, because he's a black man who's trying. And his failures have been related to people who classify themselves as white saying, we want you to fail, that we want you, because you are black, to be a one-term president. Because you are black, we have to say Obama instead of President Obama. See, 90% of the time that his name is used, it's just Obama instead of President Obama, because we can't tolerate giving a black man the title of respect that is due. And so I believe that black people should, every black person that can walk or move should go out and vote and support President Barack Obama out of a sense of black self-respect, not that he can lead the white supremacy system to solve black people's problems, that the solution to our problems as black people at the 99% level is going to come because black people begin to understand what exactly the system of racism and white supremacy is, and so therefore how do we have to internally conduct ourselves? What do we have to do? And this is where, first of all, there has to be the understanding of what we are dealing with. We're dealing with a system of racism, white supremacy, a system for white genetic survival. And the system has to attack black men because the black man is perceived as a threat to white genetic annihilation. So black people have to understand that and say, okay, now what do we need to do in terms of economics, education, entertainment, labor law, politics, religion, sex, and war? I say the area of sex is of critical importance. And black people need to, we have to revolutionize our behavior in all of the areas of activity. And again, the think about a chessboard. Think about the white side of the chessboard. The white side of the chessboard is playing racism, white supremacy, and white always moves first. And the game of chess is about the white king checkmating the black king. The white king checkmating the black king. That's what the game of chess is all about. And so we are on the black side of the chessboard playing defense-offense. The white side of the chessboard plays offense-defense. I mean, people are watching football today and looking at, football games that are always about the tactics and strategies, offensive tactics, defensive tactics and strategies. And so this is, people are watching games of strategy, which is another reason why these games are important, because in a system of racism, white supremacy, it's always, waging war against some group of non-white people, which is why the home team would wear white and the other team would wear colored jerseys. All of that is tied in to racism, but we are on the black side of the chessboard. And understanding racism means to understand very clearly people who classify themselves as white are not going to solve the problems faced by black people. They're going to be doing whatever they think they need to do. And genocide, if necessary, is to destroy the black man. And this is what we're seeing. All those black men that are incarcerated are because the system of racism wants to tie up the black genetic material and to immobilize and effeminize black males. And you can do that by an attack on the family when the father doesn't have a job and is unemployed. And so then you are having male children grow up without adult male guidance. And without adult male guidance, the majority of them will end up in a state of mental confusion and feel that they cannot function. I mean, the male children who don't have fathers, they are depressed, they are immobilized, and so we have to understand that. And so defensively, if I could wave a magic wand, the first thing would be that black people by tomorrow morning, everybody understands exactly what white supremacy racism is, what it is, and how it works. And so we start with that, and then with that understanding, understand, well, wait a minute, the area 8 of sex is critical because that's bringing new human beings into the world. Now, those human beings do not have mature parents who can take care of them, guide them and protect them, lead them in the presence of this war of racism, white supremacy, then they are going to be annihilated by the war. And so this whole thing of teenagers having sex and people having sex when they don't have the commitment of marriage, and when men don't have jobs, if men do not have jobs, they cannot function as husbands, and they cannot function as fathers. And they certainly cannot function as husbands and fathers when they're teenagers. And so we need to understand this. This is not a put-down of men. This is an understanding of the war that has been waged against us for 500 years and what the objectives of that war is. So black people have to have the counter-strategy of, oh, no, we do not reproduce until we are 30 and 35 years of age. And we do not bring children in the world outside of marriage because there need to be two committed, mature people to raise children, try to maximally develop them in the presence of an attacking war. And no more than two and no closer together than 3 years apart. You see, but it's like eight children. Six children, five children, and they all have to be taken to foster care. This is out. And black people need to have, you know, oh, no, we understand racism. It was a long time before we really understood racism, white supremacy. We didn't understand it. And so our behavior was all over the place. And we were a mess. See, we are a mess right now. We are a mess. I was talking to someone in my hometown of Chicago, and they were telling me how they visited a high school, and the children, the black children there, they were not clean. They were not well taken care of. And these are not bad children. Children don't bring themselves into the world. They are brought into the world. They cannot pick a parent. They can't pick the conditions of the parents. And so the children are completely vulnerable to the situation. But these children, their appearance reflects that they are victims in this war of racism, white supremacy, where their parents may be impoverished, their fathers don't have a job, or the fathers are incarcerated because they thought that they could sell drugs, trying to make a living. All of that is just set up to put the people in prison. And the children reflect it. So we have to begin to say as a people, oh, no, we spend the first 30 years in school determined, just like our people were when we were under formal slavery. When the system of racism, white supremacy was saying, if you try to read, I will either kill you, I will cut off your hands, I will beat you and flog you if I catch you trying to learn how to read. And with black people understanding what the system is, in that phase of the system where it was clear, if you try to learn, I'm going to kill you. If you try to learn, I'm going to beat you. And so now we come up to the 21st century and we have black children because it's the same system, just with modifications, but with the same objective. So you've got black children in school saying to each other, if you're trying to study, you're trying to act white. Translate, black people don't study. Black children don't study and learn. We're supposed to be stupid. Or black children have been taught, because the system pays so-called black entertainers to put all this garbage and trash in this so-called music. You see, talking about gangsters and thugs and bitches and hoes and bow-wows and dogs. So we've got to begin to understand, oh, this is fascinating how this system has gotten over on us. This is fascinating how we just did not understand. But now we are beginning to understand. And so we don't play with producing children in this war that we cannot take care of. We do not trash the activity of sex. If we have respect for ourselves, then we have to have the highest level of respect for the act of self-reproduction, the act that takes us closest to being like God, producing human life. So thousands of years ago, before there was white supremacy, we treated sex with reverence. But now we have been taught to completely and totally degrade it. And the system has put viruses out here, HIV, AIDS, so if you play with sex, you're going to get AIDS and you're going to be dead. So all these things that we have to think about, and it's not a matter, don't spend any energy, as I said, and I can't repeat it enough, hating white people. No, white people had a dilemma when they realized that they were a tiny minority and genetic recessive, and they could be genetically annihilated, then they evolved a system over time to prevent them from being genetically annihilated. Now, it had to be an unjust system because it's a minority controlling a vast majority. And so, well, tragically, you created this system, but we are going to behave in such a way out of a foundation of understanding what racism is and evolving respect for ourselves. The system has beaten black self-respect out of large numbers of black people. See, anytime you can get somebody to call themselves a bitch and a hoe and a gangster and a thug, you have beaten self-respect out of them. I don't care how many diamonds they hang around their neck and hang out of their ears, you have beaten their self-respect out of them. And we have to begin to understand that. You see, beaten self-respect out so that money becomes more valuable than self-respect. So we have to, you know, begin again. I say that we got on the good train integration and drove, and the train stopped us at the junction genocide. And when we realize this is where we are at junction genocide. So we have to walk back to the station and get on the right train of black self-respect and commitment to replace racism, white supremacy with justice so there can be peace. Justice is not something that you beg somebody for. Justice evolves when there is sufficient level of self-respect. Justice will prevail. And so this is where we have to completely reorganize, rethink, and reorganize. And this is why black people, you hear, you know, spokespersons, well, we got to get an agenda. Well, what's the black agenda? We got to get an agenda. We don't have an agenda. You can't have an agenda if you don't understand the problem. See, in medicine, the analogy would be the doctor treats a disease. The doctor can only treat a disease that he or she understands. The treatment is the doctor's agenda. What the doctor has to understand before the treatment is the diagnosis. What is the disease? What is the condition that is going on? Then you know what how to treat. You see, but without having an understanding, and this is why black people are, you know, intimidated. Don't talk about racism. Oh, you're playing the race card. Now you're trying to bring up race. This is the response on the part of people who classify themselves as white whenever black people try to raise the issue of racism. But racism is the thing that, so, you know, from the white side of the chessboard, that's like faking your opponent out. Your opponent, you know, might be getting the ball or something. You should try to, oh, you don't want the ball? Give it to me. So it's like, you know, don't talk about racism, don't think about racism, but black people have to begin to respond to our white counterparts. Well, I can understand you not wanting us to focus on racism, white supremacy, but if we're going to have any level of self-respect as black people, we have to focus on what is the problem. And we're not talking about hate you. We're not talking about kill all the white people. No, we're talking about transforming our behavior so that racism, white supremacy no longer exists. See, racism requires on the white side of the chessboard to teach black people that they are bitches and hoes and gangsters and thugs, and to not have any level of respect for themselves. So all you have to do is turn on the television and you can see that black people have mastered this lesson. And so it's up to black people to understand, no, we don't present ourselves in that way. There's no way in the world you can get a black woman talking like an Aunt Jemima for white people in a commercial and telling white people, do not put any obese black people on the television unless you are putting them next to an obese white person. But white supremacy says, no, I'm going to put a thin white woman and next to an obese black woman, or a thin white man next to an overweight black man. And in that way, I will be talking negatively about the black person. But if the black people don't understand, they won't see it, but white people will see it. It's just another way of saying nigger. We should tell white people, don't say N-word anymore. Just say nigger. Just say nigger. This means victim of white supremacy. It's like black people should say, fly the Confederate flag if that's what you choose. That's just a statement of white supremacy. We are in a system of white supremacy. We know we are in a system of white supremacy. So you don't have to fight any longer, because we all need to come to the truth of understanding we are in a system of racism, white supremacy. And so if black people say, use the word niggers if you want, but if I don't act like a demeaned individual, then you will realize that your word has no meaning. But if you can make me act like a demeaned person and have me using my mouth like it is a commode or a sewer. See, I don't know what is going on in the state of Washington, but on the East Coast, do you see the behavior of black young people on public transportation is something that will make you cry. Their mouths sound like they're the gutter or the sewer. Now, somebody is programming them and training them to act like this. And it's a system of racism, white supremacy. And so once we begin to understand racism, white supremacy, oh, no, you couldn't get a black person to demean and degrade themselves. I encourage black people, look at the films of the black people during the Civil Rights era, when the black people were going up against police dogs and hoses in bully clubs, and the men and women were walking with dignity. And the men had suits on and shirts and slacks and ties. Their pants were not falling down. And the black people talked about black pride. Black is beautiful. Black power and black dignity. And the system of racism, white supremacy understood, wait a minute, any people who start talking about respect for themselves, pride in themselves, dignity, those people are dangerous because they are committed to their development. So now we have to change these people. And because they don't really understand what our system is about, we can change them by putting them in movies. And we'll put them in movies and have them portraying gangsters and pimps and prostitutes. And we'll have the men calling the women bitches and the women being kicked and cursed at and the women cursing and acting trashy. We can transform all this black beautiful, black dignity. We can turn it around faster than you can wink your eye, and they won't even know what's happening. And we'll pay them. We'll pay them millions of dollars to trash themselves. And then we'll send these videos and movies all over the world, and the whole world will see this is life unworthy of life. These are people who are subhumans. These are people that deserve to be killed. See, this is what Adolf Hitler did with the Semites of the Jewish religion in Germany and other parts of Europe. He said, they are not white, and so I'm going to kill them. But I have to get the German population's mind set so that when we are going to kill them, the people will just go along with it because and so they showed Hitler had a minister of propaganda who was responsible for showing negative images of Jewish people constantly, continuously in the media, making them look like subhumans. And so when he was ready to take them to the concentration camps and gas them and kill them, calling them life unworthy of life, animal people, Tiermensch in German. And this is the way they have black people behaving. Life unworthy of life. They do not deserve schools. They don't need schools. They don't need decent housing. And we're removing them out of the cities. Now, this is the mindset of racism, white supremacy. And black people need to step into 2012 fully understanding what we are dealing with. If I could wave a magic wand, black people would, dancing would be out. Black people have already got PhDs in dancing, PhDs in singing. We can cut that out. The system says the role I have for you is to be entertainers and clowns, not serious people who become teachers and doctors and engineers and scientists. No, you are going to be the clown people and the people for us to look at and laugh. So black people, we have to say, well, this is fascinating. We did not understand that this is what integration, where this was going to take us. Now, we're glad to be able to use public accommodations and transportation, et cetera. This is good. But where we have been taken in terms of people development, with all this access to public accommodations, is a tragedy. But we understand that this is 90% our responsibility to correct and change. And we are determined to do so because, first of all, we are the people chosen by the creator of the universe, whatever that force is, to be the mothers and fathers of everybody on this planet. Everybody came from black people. White people can only make white. we make all of the people, including white people, because all we have to have is a mutation to albinism, and then you have a white person. You have a mutation in a genetic deficiency state because the person cannot produce skin pigment. But black people and people of color are the only people who can produce all of the colors on the planet. And we are the mothers and fathers of everybody. Human life began in Africa, not with apes, human beings. And we are the mothers and fathers of all the people on the planet. And it's time for us to understand that, understand racism, and sit down and be quiet and be serious and study. Every group of black people should be sitting down, not telling dirty jokes, but talking seriously. How are we going to transform our behavior, our attitudes, and reflect that we have respect for ourselves, individually and collectively? And Neely Fuller gave us some, you know, fabulous guidelines. Stop name-calling one another. Stop cursing one another. Stop squabbling with one another. Stop being discourteous and disrespectful to one another. Stop snitching on one another for reasons of personal gain. That means, like, on the job, talking to white people about another black person, hoping that will get you a promotion. Stop stealing from one another. Stop robbing one another. Stop fighting one another. Stop killing one another. Now, imagine if black people had that kind of counter-racist codification. See, all the major cities in the country, black people killing each other, black young men killing each other because they're depressed and they're frustrated. They don't understand racism, white supremacy, and they are taking their frustrations out on each other, and they don't have father guidance. But imagine if black people were not name-calling one another, cursing one another, squabbling with one another, being discourteous and disrespectful to one another, not snitching on one another for reasons of personal gain, not stealing from one another, stop robbing one another, stop fighting one another, stop killing. See, all of the talk about wanting to be entrepreneurs and run a business, you can't run a business in a community where people are robbing and stealing from each other or being discourteous and disrespectful to one another. But imagine if black people were treating one another. And this is not because, you know, we're defective as human beings. No, we have been systematically programmed to think of black as negative under 500 years of training under racism, white supremacy. And so, you know, we have to transform that. And I add to that list, stop making black children think that as children they can be adequate mothers and fathers. They cannot. There's no young person in this world who can take care of a child for 25 years, so that they are stood on their feet and can function. Black people need to be 30 and 35 years old. Nobody needs to produce children before they have educated themselves and learn how to work and learn how to function as a mature person. Now, that may seem harsh, but I've been a psychiatrist for 40 years. I can see the damage to human beings. When people have sex, I say when people play with sex, the joke is on the offspring. All the little children who don't have fathers and who long for their fathers, or mistreated by mothers who are frustrated. See, again, it's not that we are bad people is that the conditions and what the objective of the conditions that we have been under, the conditions of racism, white supremacy, are not for the maximal development of the black genetic and constitutional potential. It's to crush, inferiorize, make certain that the black genetic material is underdeveloped because of the fear of white genetic annihilation. So we have to understand that. So stop making black children think that as children they can be adequate mothers and fathers. Stop throwing down trash where black people live, work, and play. See, if you create trash around yourself, you reinforce the idea that you are trash. Paper, bottles, dirt, unswept streets reinforce the idea that I'm nothing. And so people, every black person needs to get a PhD in broom studies, sweeping and cleaning as a manifestation of, I could be poor, but I respect myself. Stop pretending that racism, white supremacy does not exist. That as far as black people are concerned, the greatest harm to black mental health is not understanding the power system and construct in which black people find themselves. So the first tenet of black mental health, there has to be an understanding of the power system of racism, white supremacy, what it is and exactly how it works. Because that understanding guides you. It's just like an understanding of fire helps you to understand you cannot walk into an oven. An understanding of fire means that you don't put your hands in it and you don't play with it and you teach children how to move and behave in relationship to fire. And understanding racism, white supremacy, since that is the power construct in which we live, that's the first tenet of black mental health. And so stop pretending and stop denying that racism, white supremacy does not exist. And maybe we can add to that, be determined to replace the system of racism, white supremacy with justice so that there can be peace on planet Earth. Because peace would be the conditions under which human beings can be maximally developed.
Context of white supremacy. Again, Dr. Francis Kress-Welsing. I'll give out the number in case folks want to dial in if you all have questions. The number, 760-569-7676. And the code is 564-943-POUND. One more time, the number, 760-569-7676. And then the code, 564-943-POUND. And if you have a question, just press *6 if you're on that line. If you dialed in on the TalkShoe line, press *8 if you have a question, and I can get your hands. Wanted to ask before I start checking the phone lines. I know in the ISIS papers, towards the close of the book, you talk about, and you addressed it today, victims of white supremacy being reluctant to address, to be honest about the fact that we are white people who practice racism, white supremacy, are at war globally against non-white people, and the importance of being honest about that, honest with ourselves and each other, and working on solutions. You have a portion in the book where you talk about dealing a lot of non-white people. We've been terrorized, and we don't want to think about this. You talk about the importance of visualizing yourself fighting another white person to get over that fear. Just what is the constructive value of kind of imagining yourself in confrontation, confronting a white person?
Well, I think that, you know, not physically fighting, but like opposing the, you know, as opposing the dynamic of racism, white supremacy. Because black people, see, one of the strategic things that the system did was to either white people were killing black people, and that certainly wasn't all white people killing black people, but significant numbers of white people killing black people. Black people are being killed in different places today by people who classify themselves as white and call themselves Nazis and white supremacists. So black people were taught through brutal mistreatment for hundreds of years to be afraid on the one hand, and on the other hand, to envision God as a white man. See, when black people were given the image of Jesus as a white man and then told this person loves you and you should love this person. And so I think that that has in many ways prevented black people from being able to really see and fully understand or wanting to understand racism, white supremacy, because we were taught in the system of racism, white supremacy, that this white man saves, this white man loves you. And so the number of black people who are in a church every Sunday and in visualizing being loved by this white man and loving this white man stands in the way of black people seeing the reality of racism, white supremacy. And even a figure like Billy Graham. Billy Graham said Jesus, if he was a historical figure, could not have been white. The part of the world where Jesus came from, he was not a white man. He could not have been white. But white supremacy distorted the image of Jesus, if that was a historical figure. You see, and so I think that this makes it difficult for black people to think about racism, white supremacy. And again, I'm saying, you know, it's a waste of energy to hate white people. And the approach, see, if black people followed the codification, these basic simple codifications that I talked about, where those are exercises not only in counter-racism, they're exercises in black mental health, and they're exercises in self-respect. See, when people carry themselves with self-respect and they carry themselves with just the, not just the show, but the substance that they respect one another, people think twice before they are engaging in injustice against those people, because they know that the people value themselves, and they know that the people respect themselves, and they know that the people respect one another. But when you program people to hate themselves and hate one another, you don't have to be afraid of them, because all you can do is you can just divide and conquer and have them destroy themselves. So this is why envisioning racism, white supremacy being practiced by white people. And see, white people say, how can, Dr. Welsing, how can I help solve this problem of racism? And I say, tell black people what white people talk about when there's no black people around. Now, those white people, I don't care whether they call themselves liberals or conservatives or green or independent, those white people never say anything. And I tell them I understand what they are talking about, and as a professor at American University once said to me, she said, Dr. Welsing, I hate to admit it, but on all social occasions, when white people are together and there are no black people around, she says, we are talking negatively about black people. Now, I would say 99.9999999% of black people don't know that. And I told her I understood, because what they are talking about is white genetic survival, which necessitates talking negatively about black people, so that all white people, and she said, all it is understood that everybody present is in agreement, because the test that white people give each other, if a white person looks like they are having too much respect for black people, another white person will say, are you a nigger lover? And if the white person wants to remain in the good graces of other white people, then they don't want to be labeled a nigger lover. Meaning you are with us in the maintenance of white supremacy for the purpose of white genetic survival. And if that white person wants to remain in good standing in the white club, then they go along. And these are things that black people do not understand. And that's part of the, I think Neely Fuller in his work calls it, white supremacy is run by deceit and violence. And that's part of the deceit. Because one black person, a white black person might say, I don't see how you can say that, Dr. Welsing. The person I sleep with is white. And I say, well, the test for you is to, in the middle of the sex act, ask that white person, what do white people talk about when there are no black people around? And the sex act will stop. So that deception where, see, because of, imagine all the white people in the state of Washington who might be sleeping with a black person. They're not in an organization to stop white supremacy. So imagine all of the people who classify themselves as white who are sleeping with black people. That's males and females. All over the United States of America, so-called. They haven't formed a John Brown Society. So what does that tell us? All the white people who are married to black people and who have children by black people, with black people, they haven't joined a society to stop racism, white supremacy. So what does that tell us? And having sex with black people, I mean, my God, that's all that went on for hundreds of years doing formal slavery. That's why black people come in a million different shades of color. No two black people in the same family are the same color. And all of that was the work, for the most part, of white slave masters raping African women at will on a daily basis anytime they got ready.
Strom Thurmond as well.
You say what?
Strom Thurmond. Former senator.
Well, you see, Thomas Jefferson, third president, George Washington. I mean, what did slave masters do? and at the same time teaching black people who then, because of the rape of the grandparents, their skin is lighter, and to tell themselves that they're better. And so then the black person who is put in a position, I'm glad my skin is light, meaning I'm glad my great-grandmother was raped. See, just imagine, it's so perverse. And then, you know, light skin is better than dark skin. And then the psychiatrist is confronted with parents bringing children. Dr. Welsing, my daughter wants to kill herself because the boys told her she's too dark to date. See, we're sick, made sick, physically and mentally, psychologically ill by the system of racism, white supremacy. You see, and now we have the phenomenon of black female young people in the colleges fighting each other, stabbing each other, killing each other, as they have false hair on their heads. See, if somebody has to walk around with long, straight hair that they buy, you know, from Asia, because they don't want to look like themselves as a black person. And so then they are fighting each other. Why? Because if I hate myself, how can I like somebody who looks like me? So these are things that we need to embrace ourselves and hug ourselves and to, you know, say we're going to love ourselves and respect ourselves and help ourselves to heal from this, you know, victimization, the worst victimization that has ever taken place on this planet. The absolute worst. See, they talk about a Holocaust that lasted for 12 years in contrast to the physical and the psychological destruction of a people that has gone on for 500 years plus. No comparison. No comparison.
There was someone who wrote in a question, wanted to get theirs, and then hit the phone lines as well. If you're on the TalkShoe line, it's star.
I'm sorry, eight. I can't hear.
Mm-hmm. So can you hear me now?
I can hear now. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Folks that are on the TalkShoe line, it's star 8 if you have a question. And folks that are on the free HD line, 760-569-7676. That line, it's star 6 if you have a question. The emailed question that I got, it's about so-called holidays under white supremacy and if that would be healthy. The question is, I would like to know Dr. Welsing's thoughts on non-white and their celebrating of mainstream holidays. Do you think we really understand the truth behind them? And is it okay for non-whites to continue celebrating these days as a time for family out of their original context and meaning?
Well, to be honest with you, if a person said, you know, a choice, whether I understand, whether I really take the time and energy to understand the system of racism, white supremacy, what it is and exactly how it works. So if a person had the choice between understanding racism or participating in the holidays, I would, you know, in worrying about whether a person participated in any particular holiday, I would want them to understand in depth racism, white supremacy. You see, but just to say, well, why are black people celebrating a particular holiday and focus on that and criticize a person because they may be doing thus and so on a particular holiday? To me, that's trivia compared to whether the person prioritizes understanding the system of racism, white supremacy, what it is and exactly how it works. Because if the person understands that, they will eventually think through what to do on a holiday. But if they just, it's a question of, I'm going to stop participating in this holiday and I don't understand the system of racism, white supremacy, I'd say they would be in great trouble.
Another person, they emailed a question in. This one, I would like to know what Dr. Welsing thinks about pornography and if it has a role or is being used to sexualize children, i.e. those innocent Playboy magazines led many to those innocent rated R teen movies, to those pornographic films. Just how do you think that's being used to program the way we think about it?
Okay. Pornography is the demeaning and the degrading of sex. And to understand a system and a culture, a people who demean and degrade how they look, and white people do not like the way they look. This is why they suntan. This is why they put tattoos all over themselves. And this is why they like drinking coffee and eating truffles and eating chocolate, trying to take color in because, or you know, just turn on the television and look at something like QVC in the summer. You have white women talking about, I have to get rid of this winter white, and I've got to put this lotion on. At the same time, they will have taught black people to hate themselves because they have skin pigmentation, and so then you have people of color trying to bleach their skin. Excuse me. So pornography is something that grows out of a culture that is based on people who deep down inside demean the way they look. And so then they will begin to demean the act that produces them. And so to the extent that black people have been programmed to demean and degrade their appearance and, you know, not admire black skin, and I mean black skin, to the degree that they hate themselves, they will degrade the act that produces them. And so we have come from a culture in Africa. In Africa, people didn't degrade sex, but they have probably been taught, just like the other non-white people in the world, being taught through contact with the system of racism, white supremacy, to demean and degrade the act of self-reproduction. So pornography, which is a tremendously huge industry in the system of racism, white supremacy, I maintain grows out of the demeanment of the white appearance and the white self. And black people, you know, monkey see, monkey do. There's an African proverb that says, the monkey was so busy doing what everybody else was doing that one day the monkey cut his throat. So that African wisdom means that people have to learn how to think for themselves. And we need to learn how to think for ourselves as black people, instead of thinking through the mechanism of racism, white supremacy, which necessitates black people hating themselves as black people and hating and demeaning their image of black people. So we have to rethink and not be the monkey.
Wow. That someone had just mailed me a link for a new film. It just came out this year. It was done by a white person. It's called The Strangeness of the Johnsons. And that Johnsons, right, I've heard many white people refer to the penis as the Johnson. But in this film, all black cast, it has the father, black father, and the black son engaged in a pedophilic sexual relationship. And the mother, she walks in on the father and son engaged in sexual intercourse on the son's wedding day. Just the worst, trashiest, sexually perverted film you can imagine. And I was watching it and I'm thinking, I just don't think black people would have accepted this 50 years ago. I could see, you know, a protest, many black people complaining and saying this is totally unacceptable. You know, this, we're just not going to tolerate this without saying anything. And now I don't really see that now. Just do you think things have gone downhill to where this sort of obvious trashing of black people, there's just less resistance from the victims?
See, 50 years ago, black people were in the midst of civil rights struggle. And so for that kind of thing to have existed, you know, it's a little bit unimaginable, not impossible, but a little bit unimaginable, because the people were engaged in respecting themselves. The people were engaged in giving their lives to move forward. And so I would say that, you know, now, since black people have been told that we're supposed to be post-racial and race is not supposed to matter, and now we have a black president and you don't need to think about black pride, black dignity, and black self-respect. See, we are in the midst, I call it, we are in the genocide slide. That means where, you know, all perspective and understanding, for the most part, has been lost. And so whether it's Tyler Perry putting on a dress and demeaning, he thinks, you know, portraying in comedy a woman and making fun of the black grandmother. And if it weren't for black grandmothers, many black people wouldn't even be alive. Do you see what I'm saying? So all of this demeanment, see, now we are supposed to be fully and totally assimilated into the racism, white supremacy culture. And if going back and looking at history, and George Santayana said, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it. That was a sign in Jonestown with all those dead bodies led by a white man. Those who don't learn from history will repeat history. And Semites of the Jewish religion thought that they had become integrated as non-white people. I mean, they didn't want to call themselves white. They wanted to believe that after all the years of miscegenation and integration that they had arrived at being accepted as white was at the point that they were killed by Adolf Hitler. And so we have been told that we are integrated and assimilated, and then so the person, you know, who is reporting mentions having seen something of that demeaning and degrading character. You see, and so this is a tragic, tragic, tragic endpoint that, but I read some time ago that some white people had gone to one of the African countries, maybe Nigeria, and had been taking pictures of having African women having sex with dogs. You see, but this is what comes from having a concept that God is white. So anything a person who's white suggests that I do, if I'm just completely in the sway of white is God. And so anything that God tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And so then black people would find themselves in this kind of film production. But this is just a great tragedy. And we should, you know, I'm glad the person mentioned it. They should share that with everybody they know and say, listen, this is what we need to think about. We have been taken to the lower depths, the lowest depths. And we need to think about understanding racism, white supremacy, so we can understand how did this happen? Is this where a self-respecting people would want to find themselves? See, in other words, this video or this film, and then black people are going to complain about Coach Sandusky maybe raping black children at Penn State. What are black people thinking about? And so, you know, as I said, white supremacy in many ways through all the videos and the so-called music and trashiness. See, when you take people to the level that, you know, women are willing to call themselves bitches and hoes and men are willing to call themselves gangsters and thugs and dogs, you can get those people to do anything. Kill themselves, kill each other, kill their mothers. And that's where we have been taken. That's where we have to pull ourselves back from. We have got to try to pull ourselves back from the brink where racism, white supremacy has taken us. And perhaps if we realize the creative force in the universe made the first people, the first human beings, crystal black. So that's who the force in the universe created black people to be, the mothers and fathers of everybody on the planet. And so if we are of that substance and we respect the creative force, we will be able to pull ourselves back if that is our determination to do so. And it should be our determination to pull ourselves back from the lowest depths that the system of racism, white supremacy has taken us.
Context of white supremacy, Dr. Francis Cress-Welsing. There's a person that called in with a hand up. Just to make sure I'm doing my part as well, that film, Total Trash, in my opinion, maximum act of racist aggression. It's The Strangeness of the Johnsons, and I believe a white person made this film.
Of course.
In my opinion.
See, of course.
Nate.
See, of course. See, that's like every time they mention the Penn State abuse of children, white men abusing children. The very next story would also be Herman Cain sexually harassing a white woman. So it's like perchance you think that white people are bad. Let me show you a black person. Do you see? Let me show you Herman Cain. Let's talk about Herman Cain. Let's talk about Herman Cain. Let's talk about Herman Cain and the sexual harassment of white children, of white women. But, you know, let's not continue to focus on Mr. Sandusky.
Absolutely. And not giving out the racial classification of the victims.
You say what?
not giving out the racial classification of the victims, Mr. Sandusky's victims, to let folks know whether they're black or white or what have you. And I think you made an excellent contrast earlier about with Herman Cain, they make sure that people know these were white women, that these, you know, allegations,
exactly,
charges of what he. The person that dialed in, M1 on the talk show line, M1, if you had a question for Dr. Welzin, your line should be open. Please proceed.
Hi, good evening to everybody. I'll say it's nice speaking to both of you as well as yourself, Dr. Welzin.
Nice speaking to you. Mm-hmm.
Yes. As you know, there's a movie out on the former FBI director called J. Edgar. And one of the things I've been hearing for the past 15 years is that J. Edgar Hoover was really a black person who was living his life as a white man. Now, by every account, J. Edgar Hoover was an enemy of black people. Black people died because of this man. So what would be the good value of any black person saying, oh, this is just one of our misguided brothers? You know, that he was really one of us, but he had to do what he had to do. Me, I just cannot get with that kind of thinking anymore.
Well, a black woman wrote a book about the history in her family. Was that J. Edgar Hoover? Was from black family stock, and so he was a person who was passing. And if that was, you know, if that was true, and this apparently was something, I believe the family was out of Mississippi, and you know, just tons of miscegenation was going on because of slavery. And so J. Edgar Hoover, I mean, whenever I looked at him, I could never see a white man. He looked like, you know, some level of race mixture. Now, if he was passing or seeking to pass as white, then the test, you have to pass the test of being willing. It's like a police officer who's black, and let's say he's on a team and he's the only black on the team, and the white police officers attack a black man. And so if the black man wants to be accepted, he finds himself kicking and punching the black man just as the whites are doing. It's no different than a black person on a job. When they see that the boss, who's white, is attacking a black person, and then that person joins with Massa, let me tell you what Helen did. Let me tell you what Helen said about you. So I don't know whether J. Edgar Hoover indeed did have black heritage, but a black woman wrote a book saying that this was a story in her family and they were not to tell anybody for fear of something happening to themselves. And so, you know, that might have been true. I was talking to somebody in my family who saw the movie the other day, and they were talking about Hoover's interaction with Tolson, you know, whether he was gay, whether they had a gay relationship. And I said, now, if Hoover did have black heritage, he might have been fearful if he was relating to a woman, having children by a woman, because you don't know what's going to show up in the genetic package and whether that you would have, you know, offspring that appeared black. So, and, you know, Hoover was, you know, completely agitated by black-white sexual relations and talking about King and having sex, his Martin Luther King Jr. having sexual relations with a white female or whatever. Like, he was obsessed with that. And that could be a major concern because he could have been white if he had not had, you know, some black ancestry, and he could have ended up like some people who are products of so-called mixed race. I could have been all white if it hadn't been for the black person. So we don't know, but I don't remember the name of the book that the woman wrote, but a black woman wrote this book, and it might be interesting for the caller to find it. Do you see? In other words, imagine on when we were in formal slavery, and imagine the number of times one black person would go to Massa. I hear Francis talking about trying to leave with Harriet Tubman. So people who are under oppression, once you teach people to hate themselves, you know, Malcolm X wrote about the slave saying, Massa, we sick. Massa, you and I are the same. I'm with you, Massa. See, think of all the black people who say, why is somebody like that, Francis Wessing, always talking about racism? Meaning, I don't talk about racism because I don't want people who classify themselves as white to be upset with me. Massa, I agree with you that Francis Wessing shouldn't be talking about racism. How many people do you know sing that song?
A lot. Now, I will look up the author, that black woman who wrote this book. But it was interesting. 15 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I heard it from a white author who wrote a book about a named Donald Spotto.
That's
where I first heard it. Spotto, S-P-O-T-T-O. That was where I first heard it.
That he was black, that he had black ancestry?
Yeah.
I see.
And they even show, and this book even had a picture of Hoover in his, you know, more, I guess, more white-looking state, and a picture in his what's supposed to be natural, more color complexion.
I mean, had he bleached his skin or anything like that, or?
It didn't state that, but what you got from these photos was that here is how Hoover is really supposed to look, more Negro, as they say back then, as to how he is genuinely portrayed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So your point is?
Yeah, my point is, if this is true, is it a good thing for us as black people to celebrate someone who clearly worked against black people? I mean, we all know the names of people he tried to destroy.
Now you're saying celebrate black people celebrating,
yeah.
Hoover?
Yeah, should black people celebrate him? Because I do believe by people trying to, like people pointing out that he may have black ancestry, that they may, that may have the effect of erasing what black people commonly accept J. Edgar Hoover as a racist and someone who was our enemy.
Well, do you see, in other words, when I hear black people mention that he might have had black ancestry, I don't see it as a celebration. They're just talking about it as a fact. that it could be a fact. And if it is a fact, do you see where he, and if he was running away from his own ancestry, then he would, you know, validate, see, I'm white, and let me prove it to you how, based on how I attack black people. So this is the way, I've never heard black people celebrating it, but, you know, that just may be what I've heard. But, I've heard black people mention it and talking about it in relationship to his attitude towards black people. Do you see? But it's like, just think about our attitudes in general. Like if I said to you, what percentage of black people do you think love black people? That's the question.
Yeah.
Do you see, or black people were given a choice. Do you want to go with the black people, or do you want to go with the white people? Or given a choice. If you said, what percentage of black people want to go with the black people's self-respect political party versus the Democratic Party? Do you see? So there is great ambivalence. Or think about the black people who, I've heard teachers recently talk about the number of children in their schools. These are little black children with the whole spectrum of color. And those black children, I'm not black. I'm mixed race. How many black people spend a whole lot of time struggling over, well, how am I going to classify myself on the census? Now, I was told that my great-grandfather was a white man, and I think I'm part Indian. Anything but black. I think that gets us up to like 90%. I'm not black. I'm Afro-American. White people say they're white. They don't call themselves Euro. I'm white. I'm white.
That is
I'm
true.
White. A 3-year-old white child. I'm white. I'm white. So, you know, in other words, if Hoover's tragic, but again, how many black people are in situations where they are abusive to other black people? The president can't come and say, well, I'm going to address the specific needs of black people. Why? Because if I identify with black people, the white people won't vote for me. And that's supposed to be the most powerful position. And that would be true for any black person in that office. Just like a black person is promoted to CEO of the company. And black people, oh, this is great, so maybe he'll be hiring black people. Don't hold your breath. Because he can't.
Well, thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Thank you, caller. The book that Dr. Welsing was referencing, the black female, her name is Millie McGee. Millie McGee, that's her name, M-I-L-L-I-E, and McGee
Millie McGee.
And the title of the book?
And the book is?
Secrets Uncovered, J. Edgar Hoover, The Relative.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a documentary film that's also about the same subject matter.
Okay.
And the title of it is What's Done in the Dark. What's Done in the Dark, that's the DVD. And the book is Secrets Uncovered, J. Edgar Hoover, The Relative. And she actually was a guest here on The Cows in 2009.
Oh, I see. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she had a lot of information. It was kind of unfortunate. She talked about his ancestors and the sexual relationship between, like, his great-grandmother and her slave owner as a romantic relationship. She did not view it as rape and an act of racism, white supremacy, but she did have
a lot
of...
We try to make it easy by calling it romantic. I mean, you know, that's like... Some people have tried to talk about the love relationship between Sally Hemings and Thomas Jefferson. That's like she loved being a slave. But why did she want her children to be free?
Yeah, we're all a little confused, but I did appreciate the information. She gathered in the book and about her family, because she talks a lot about how her family was mistreated. Like, there was a threat about, you know, revealing this information and talking to public.
Yeah, they could not reveal that information, right.
It reminded me of that phrase. I think I asked you about it on an earlier visit to the program, nigger in the woodpile, the phrase that some white people use. Person who called in from Massachusetts, with a hand up, Massachusetts caller. Did you have a question for Dr. Wesen?
Hey, guys. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Hi, guys. Hi, Dr. Wesen. I don't know if you will consider a weird question, but if you can, like, you know, give us some tips as far as, like, you know, like, when we are in public, right? How we can, how's the best way of dealing with so-called suspected racists when we are out in public, they say, like, in a store, work setting, anything like that, you know, what's the best way to minimize drama with them? And, because, you know, I know you study human behavior and all that, minimize drama and problems with them. Not that I'm saying, you know, hey, you know, trying to be submissive or anything like that, but when one is trying to get something done and then dealing with these races, you know, it takes a lot of time out of our, you know, takes a lot of our time dealing with that. And a lot of times I find myself, like, I go in the store or something, I'm in a public place. I don't work with them because I made that years ago. I started trying as much as I could to work and being able to work without being around them on a job setting or working for them or working with them. But, like, when I go in the store and public places, I find it, like, because I see all their racist things, moves. I read their moves, their body language, their eyes, everything. You know, it's like sometimes it becomes hard for me to, like, okay, just keep focused. You're here to get what you're trying to get done. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And, like, be able to, like, know that they're running these games, but still be able to get done. Well, one's trying to get done. What kind of behavior? I mean, do you know what I'm saying? Like, how can one deal with you heard what I said. Can you please, like, I think you know where I'm going with this. Can you please, like, you know, please drop any tips or you know, any advice that you know, you find that can be useful for victims?
Okay, see, I think that I understand what you're saying. In other words, see, I think that we have been thrown off by being told that we are in a democracy and everybody is equal. And so black people keep, you know, it's like somebody telling you that a rattlesnake is the kindest animal in the animal kingdom. And so the black person keeps approaching the rattlesnake and getting bitten. On the other hand, if a black person, if people are taught, you know, it's just like a person being misled to believe fire won't hurt you, and so you keep getting burned, versus being told fire, you have to relate to fire in a particular way. And if you can relate to fire, if you understand fire, you can master the use of fire. But it's because black people, again, I go back to the religion, and black people being given an image of a white man and told this is God, and this is God, this is God's son, and God's sons loves you, red, yellow, black, and white, all are precious in the sight. And black people keep looking for that, and they run into a shock. It's like stepping on an electrified floor. But if black people are taught this is racism, white supremacy, and this is the way that the people who classify themselves have to behave because they are fearful of their genetic annihilation, their tiny minority on the planet, their genetic recessive. So their behavior patterns are this, 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 and this. That they will constantly on a job be trying to undermine you. Then you will know exactly, you can learn how do I have to relate in exactly the same way that when a person is taught what the game of football is about, then they know how to maneuver and move on that field of football no matter what position they are in. They know what to expect. They know what offensive, defensive maneuvers to make, because they have been told the truth about what the game is all about. Now, somebody like myself, you put me on the football field, I don't know the intricacies of the game, and so I'll be standing there on the field getting knocked over and stepped on. But if I knew what everything meant, so I knew exactly what to move, what muscles to move when, then I can achieve, even if the score is down, if I know, then the person can be a winner. I mean, if you just watch black men on the football field, on the basketball court, they are engaging in a game that is about warfare, tactics, and strategy, and they can come out victorious because they have been told what that game is all about, and they play with great skill. But we have been denied that, and not only denied, lied to. So when the black person on the job or the black person in a situation saying, it's like many black people have the experience, you're standing in line in front of a white person in a checkout, and the white person is sort of like pushing your stuff. They can't wait their turn. It's like, why do I have to be behind a black person? I mean, some of the behaviors and moves. A psychiatrist at Harvard University, Chester Pierce, he called them micro and macro aggressions. You see, all of the subtle moves that people are constantly going through. See, these behaviors are coming out of fear of white genetic annihilation, even though I remember a long time ago at a meeting of the American Psychiatric Association and several black psychiatrists, I wasn't on the panel, they were talking about racism from a Freudian psychoanalytic standpoint. And so at the end of the presentation of the panelists and the moderator, said to an audience of about 2,000 people, "Who does anybody have any questions?" So people raised questions, and I raised my hand. There were about 25 black people maybe in the whole audience. And I said, "I think racism is based on the fact that people who classify themselves as white are actually a tiny minority." And the whole room fell silent. And the meeting was anybody else? Nobody said anything after that. And individual white people would come up to me afterwards. I might be in the lobby in the hotel and whisper. Now, these were psychiatrists. And say, "Do you think white people know they're a minority?" Now, these are not people in elementary school. These are physicians and psychiatrists. So that means 4 years of medical school beyond college and 3 years of residency, 1 year internship, you know, years and years of education. Psychiatrists saying, "Do you think that white people know they're a minority on the planet?" Now, white people don't have to consciously think about their being a minority, but they have been taught so that they project and call the people of color, "You are minorities. You are one of the minorities." And constantly, "You are a minority. You're a minority. You're a minority. You're a minority." So at a deeper subconscious level, within the culture itself and also within individual people, there is the awareness that they actually are in a vulnerable position, just like they project that black people are genetically impaired when it's they who are mutations and who are genetic recessive and genetically vulnerable. But so it's like they are moving on this, and this is our experience. And so black people are constantly running into either one kind of aggression, if not overt aggression. Do you see the people who will get, I guess the guy's name was Bird, and trick him and say they're, you know, having fun and tie him to the back of a car and drag him to death. Or, you know, fooling around with a black guy and then eventually hanging him. And the black person thinks, "Oh, they want to be my friend." So, and this is why I say that, you know, it's important for black people to, it's like a complete transformation of the way that we understand and think, different than what we have been taught. What we have been taught, that this is a democracy as opposed to this is a system of racism, white supremacy that is local, national, global. And so if people are told what the lay of the land is, then they can function and they can move to achieve. It's just like on the football field, in spite of the offense coming from the other side or the defense coming from the other side, if you understand the game, then you're able to prevail. But if you don't understand, or you want to believe in fantasy, or like Mr. King, Rodney King out in California, "Can't we all just get along?" Do you see, or for that matter, Dr. Martin Luther King, "If we could all love each other." Well, now that's a magnificent ideal. But if there are people who, if following love there was sexual relations, then there would be white genetic annihilation. So no, we can't all love each other. We can't all be equal because we're not equal. You have more genetic power than I have, and you can genetically annihilate me, so I have to subdue you with my weapons. So that people were talking openly about this. I've had white people say to me, "You know, I never really understood why we behave in the way that we do." This is insightful. I had a white banker say to me, giving a lecture about racism at his bank. That was in the days when, you know, black people were talking about racism. And this banker said, "Dr. Welsing, you're correct about what you're saying, but what can you do about it?" Meaning, You see, in other words, see, I'm not creating a lot of unknown facts. I'm talking basically about two fundamental, undisputable things. Number one, that the people who classify themselves as white on planet Earth, third planet from the sun, are a tiny minority of people, and they are genetically recessive to the overwhelming majority on the planet, black, brown, red, yellow people who are genetically dominant. The black people have the greatest genetic potential to cause white genetic annihilation, and so therefore they are the number one target to be attacked. And so if we understood that, and this is what, you know, is why I keep talking about it, because we could have mental health if we understood. It's just like the football player who understands the game can function effectively on the team and can be victorious depending upon how hard they work in mastering the game. And instead of us limping around as a people, oh, woe is me, one day we'll overcome. No, black people would be able to move around and understand, well, finally we understood what this is all about. Formal enslavery was a phase of this process. And so now it's 99.9% on our shoulders to understand what we're dealing with. Understanding and how much self-respect can we generate? How much respect for the condition of crystal black, which is how we looked before the grandmothers were raped. Instead of worshiping, I'm so glad I'm light-skinned and that my grandmothers were raped. If we can get out of that mode and get into respecting ourselves as we were made by the creator of this universe, then I think we have the, you know, then because we're the parent people. I mean, the parents are always responsible for the condition the house is in. And psychiatrists, child psychiatrists deal with situations all the time where children, in effect, have taken over the household, and the parents have relinquished their role, and they're dysfunctional, and they're functioning at the same level that their children are functioning. And so then the household is in chaos. But when the parents are ready to be parents and take on the responsibility of being parents, then the household is calm, and they don't have to even be abusive to the children. But because they respect themselves at a very high level, and the children's behavior falls in line accordingly. See, the children cannot be in charge of the house. People without wisdom cannot be in charge of the house. And white people, you know, the smartest white people, you can even say the most liberal white people, if they are not insightful about their own behavior, they cannot be functioning with wisdom on the planet. And I'm saying insightful about their own behavior, meaning white people who can look in the mirror and face the fact that they are practicing racism, white supremacy, because they are a tiny minority and they are genetic recessive. See, that, and we're at a critical, interesting point in time because, see, President Barack Obama, this black man in the White House, is a product, or shall we say, a product of white genetic annihilation. And that, once it, you know, once the shock, I mean, you know, white people will say, well, his mother was white, he's mixed race. But then when it sets in, this is white genetic annihilation. You don't see anything about his mother in his appearance. And then that, wait a minute, and Patrick Buchanan's book with all of its relevance. See, people say, why should I read that? Because it's important to read reality. This is what a prominent person in the white world is admitting and discussing about racism, white supremacy. So why shouldn't black people be aware? Other than black people want the, because we hate ourselves and we want white people to love us. That's what is taught in the church. Hate yourself as black. Love this white image of Jesus. And if Jesus is white, then God has to be white. Now this is like, you know, like brain poisoning insofar as it relates to black self-respect. But this is what has happened. And again, we can embrace ourselves and say, this is fascinating, this is interesting, and now let's see what we're going to do about black self-transformation. So are people who classify themselves as white going to behave in a manner that is antithetical to black maximal development? And the answer is, if they are going to participate in white genetic survival, then this is what we can expect. And so, you know, it's like understanding, if you knew somebody, or, you know, people have people in their family all the time whose behavior is such and such a way. And so, you know, aunt so-and-so, uncle so-and-so, you know, sister, you know, mother. Now, this is the way mother behaves, and so this is the way you have to relate to her. Now, you see, with black people, and this is why it's important for any situation, you know, like we're having a discussion. This is a black radio host. I'm in hopes that, you know, maybe some people are out in the audience world who classify themselves as white. And so this program is, you know, primarily for black people understanding racism, but maybe there's some white people who will listen and who might be trying to think and understand themselves as opposed to deny that racism exists. And, you know, dialogue, if it's possible, is always good. But that's real dialogue. It's not you know, white people pretending to talk about racism, but they don't really talk about it. And black people being swept away and thinking that white people are talking about racism when white people are really not. You know, white people talking about whiteness and whiteness theory and critical race theory. But it's practicing racism, meaning because it's like, well, we only talk about racism from a white point of view, but we are the practitioners. But we don't listen to the people who are the victims of white supremacy. Now, we don't listen to them because our ideas are superior to theirs. And so that's just a game of maintaining white supremacy in the pretense of talking about it.
I wanted to see if we could get in some other folks called in. We had about 30 people on the phone line. I told you.
Oh, well, tell me to be quiet. So go ahead.
The person who called in, I'm going to try and get them in order.
Okay.
The person who called in from California.
Yes.
Did you have a question for Dr. Welsing?
Hi. It's really an honor to be, it's a good conversation. I just wanted to relate an interesting sequence of, like, commercials during the Republican debate that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
See what your thoughts were about it. The first one was it was a car commercial, and there was a black man, you know, in his car, and he's like, you know, going pretty fast, and then there's like a, he's about to, like, crash into a, you know, have this terrible wreck, and it goes slow motion, and his whole life flashes before his eyes, and then it's, like, and then just before he hits the truck, then it stops, and the brakes are really good. It's on the Cadillac. It's a Cadillac commercial also, so it was, like, pretty striking, you know, after watching the debate, all these, you know, white, you know, Republican, you know, and then Herman Cain, not really, you know, given the too much respect, but and then after the Cadillac commercial where the black guy almost gets killed, then there's a commercial for suits, for men's suits, and it's a black man getting catered to by a white guy, and then surrounded by all these white people in a commercial, you know, getting the suit put on him, and he's all, you know, I'm getting the suit, you know, I'm normal, you know. And then the third commercial was, it's like, you know, you see this white woman swimming around in water, all like, you know, blonde, super waifish, and it's like Aphrodite, the goddess of enchantment and love and
beauty.
And I think I was waiting for the same beauty, but I don't think they said beauty, but they said something like very, you know, like attraction or something like that. But yeah, that was it. And then it took me a couple of days to kind of like just see it in different ways. And I was like, whoa, it's very, you know, this weird kind of development of history or kind of thought processes. It was just, yeah, that was it.
Well, you see, racism is throughout the day. It's like if you turn on, I'm in Washington, D.C., you turn on the television in the morning, any station that you turn to, you're going to see white. Do you see what I'm saying? And so you are getting anybody who just turns, if you turn on the TV in the morning and you don't have an understanding of racism, white supremacy, so your brain, you know, the grid is up, and so you understand why you're seeing what you're seeing. But if you don't understand why, you're just getting a big, massive dose of white supremacy, white opinion, and then a crazy appearing black person in a commercial or some kind of distorted kind of image of black people in a commercial. So you're getting a dose of racism, white supremacy 24/7 through the visual media. If you were sitting in school, you get the same dose. And so, you know, give yourself credit for looking at and understanding the commercials that you're looking at.
The person who dialed in the handle Walking Bear, did you have a question for Dr. Wilson?
Hello?
Caller on the, oh, yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Calling on the... Oh, we can hear you.
Okay. Good evening, Dr. Wilson and Gus. In your book,
I'm
Dr. Wilson...
I'm having trouble hearing. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll try to speak really loud. In your book,
okay.
The ISIS papers, you mentioned about black mothers of male children need to rid themselves of fear of their sons dying and their men dying. And then you say black women must learn to rear their sons who will learn from the cradle that their major function is to defend, protect, and support the black people. And I think you mentioned that basically today when you were talking about our responsibilities. I just wanted to know if you wanted to say anything else about that chapter in your book.
Well, I think that, you know, it's important for black people, males and females, to understand racism, help their children understand racism, and it's not hate, but it's understanding of injustice and why the injustice exists and what it is that is their responsibility to do about it. And it's like black people, you know, need to be thinking about and understanding that black men cannot function as men if they are not employed. And just like there's a Million Man March called by Louis Farrakhan, 2 million people came, black men, instead of being satisfied, they're unhappy about it, but they're not making a collective statement about we cannot function as men. We cannot be self-supporting. We cannot function as husbands. We cannot function as fathers if we do not have employment. And we are determined to have employment. We do not plan to spend our lives sitting up in prison and getting 3 meals a day and taken care of by other men and sex by other men. That's not what a black man is supposed to be about. And we are not going to be turned into women, as is the objective of the system that we are in, do you see? So it's like black men are going to have to stand up and take a stand about their masculinity, their intention to be men. And it's not, you know, calling white people hunkies and crackers and this and that. It's like talking about what the system of racism is about and what their understanding of the system of racism is about, and understanding that just because you can produce a child, that doesn't make you a man. It doesn't make you a father. A father has a function. A husband has a function. Just like a wife has a function and a mother has a function. And it's not just to engage in the sex act. And this is what we need to be, you know, this has to be a part of the black agenda, our understanding of racism and our understanding and determination about what our function is going to be. And a black woman is not somebody who's just shaking her booty on TV. And black men should move beyond all, what I'm interested in is her booty. Does that make a civilization?
No, it does not. I also have another
question. This is what people who have been bred to be slaves and breeders, this is what they think about. See, the slave masters would be having the black man and a black woman out in the yard copulating under force. Make that baby. Get her pregnant. I want to sell that slave. And we're just in modified form. I want somebody else in the prison industrial complex. So breed. Breed. Pass it off. You got a son, pass him off to foster care. Give him to 2 white male homosexuals to raise.
Dr. Wilson?
And then we're going to talk about Penn State. So it's a whole lot of thinking we have to do as black people. Embrace ourselves and challenge ourselves and think and turn off the loud music and think, sit still. See all that bopping around and jive talk?
Dr. Wilson?
I don't know.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. I also have contact with Native Americans, Native Indians living on reservations, concentration
mm-hmm.
camps, and following their conditions, it's like living in a ghetto, but worse because it's out of sight, out of mind. They also get shot, unarmed Natives get shot by police in South Dakota. Their children get taken away by the system, and then foster cared in white communities where, you know, there are cases in the courts right now with the foster parents raping the children. Suicide's really high on the reservations. My point is they're going through the same thing. It's just that they're not on the mainstream news. CNN doesn't
exactly.
do programs.
See, they have, in effect, been genocided. What you're looking at is the remnants of 500 nations. See, there were 500, at least 500 nations on this continent before the Europeans arrived. But they had been genocided to a point that, you know, they're on concentration camp reservations and dying, being killed, killing themselves. And we need to look at that and understand, you know, we're on the second step. And anybody who says something about being post-racial is speaking the language of disaster.
We had one other person that dialed in, Mr. Scotty Reed, founder of the Black Talk Radio Network. Mr. Reed, your line should be open. Did you have a question for Dr. Welsing?
Yes, I do. Greetings to you, Gus. Great show as always. I have a comment and a question. I like the way that you, Dr., were using the analogies, using the sporting games, because I believe so much of the things that we face here in this country and globally can be more, I guess, simply explained in the terms of if we were playing a game, we have to know the rules of the game in order to become skilled at it. You have to practice it. You have to study it. So I definitely was identifying with the examples that you were using. I have long looked at politics as a game, and it is a game that I feel that we as blacks here in America are either unwilling to learn how to play the game, whether or not because we think the game is fixed or simply because we just don't want to learn how to play this game. And I'm just trying to understand if you can give me some insight as to why that is. Why are we so unwilling to learn the game of politics?
Well, politics is basically the power relationships between people. You see, and for you to succeed in playing the power game between people, you have to be into who you are. Who am I? You see, but we are always me, we. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If I'm always identifying myself with somebody else, like many times black spokespeople can't talk about the condition of black people without the next sentence jumping to the condition of poor people and all people. You see, I mean, it's nice to, you know, think about everyone, but charity begins at home. But we have difficulty. I am black. Let me focus on what is happening to my black self and the other black people who are in the same situation that I am, which is all other black people. But if I don't want to be black, I'm not black. Don't call me black. I didn't leave anything in Africa. If that's what is in my brain computer because of conditioning, then I'm not successfully playing. I can't play successfully a situation of power relations. See, people who classify themselves as white, they belong to the White Genetic Survival Political Party. That is Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, Greens, and any other group. They understand because their identity is crystallized. I'm white. Now, I'm in the Tea Party. I'm in the Conservative Party. I'm in the Republican Party. in the Democratic Party, in, you know, whatever, independent, whatever, but their identity and their respect for themselves at that level, I'm white. See, I'm not confused. I'm not Euro-American. I'm white. Now, see, I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. I'm not black. Don't call me black. I'm not black. Do you see? So when the game is, just like in chess, it's a white side of the chessboard and it's a black side of the chessboard. And by not knowing who we are, we're not even on the board. So we're not in the power game. We're just stumbling around in a state of discontent, not knowing what to do, and basically then getting mad at each other. You see, or fuming at each other, or trying to knock each other out of, you know, it would be like the black pieces on the chessboard knocking each other off the board. So you have a Tavis Smiley and a Cornel West attacking Barack Obama, or Jesse Jackson attacking a Barack Obama. Nobody is talking about racism, white supremacy.
Do you, on Barack Obama, it seems to me, and this is my opinion, that he himself seems to shy away from issues of race. Case in point.
Buddy, if you got a nice-looking wife, and you got two of the nicest-looking women in America. Now, if you start talking about the wrong thing, something can happen to those children on the way to school. Now, we would hate to see that. We have had assassinations of presidents. Wasn't it just the other day that somebody is supposed to have been shooting at the White House?
Yes.
Broke the window of the residence. Wasn't it a lady in a red dress a little while ago who she and her escort, her husband, walked up into the White House, were in the receiving line, and they never had an invitation? So all of those are statements, Mr. President, you don't have any protection. Do you understand? Now, you said you were going to talk about race. We don't think that that's what you're supposed to do. So there's no other black person on this planet that would be sitting up in the system of white supremacy doing whatever the hell they think they want to do. It's just like there's no black politician who is dependent upon white funds to run a campaign who is going to do too much other than what they are allowed to do. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Let me restate
so
and make sure that I understand.
This is the situation that we're in, and which is why it is incumbent upon us as individual black people to understand. See, I mean, white power is not a joke. What's the Obama effect? When he took office, what happened to the gun sales all across the country? Am I making myself clear?
I do want to make sure I'm clear on one point. So it sounds like you said to me that whether it's mm-hmm. Barack Obama or any other black politician, that they can't address certain issues pertaining to race or pertaining to the advancement of black people because they don't have enough support from black people because they're not participating
no,
in the
I'm
political.
Saying they can't do it because they're not allowed to do it by white power. See, it's just like a black person on a job. How many black people on a job can sign a petition about discrimination in wages? You might have one courageous black person who fights all the way through in 10 years. And once that black person files a complaint, the other black people space away from that person. Because they know that they can lose their jobs. And they don't have the courage to stick with the black person who filed a complaint of discrimination. Because
okay, thank
the
you.
People in charge can fire you. So I'm just saying that that's why it's important to understand the system of racism, white supremacy. What the system is and the seriousness of the system. This system hasn't run for 500 years because it's plain. That's like I saw a child in therapy some time ago, and this child wasn't a little black male child, maybe 11 years old, and the parent mother brought him in because he wasn't performing in school, and they said he was smart, but he, you know, just wouldn't perform. So the psychiatrist, I'm the child psychiatrist, talking to the little boy. I said, sweetheart, don't you want to work hard in school so that you can help black people? And this little child said, no. Now, that was surprising because the psychiatrist would want the child, yes, I do. The little boy said, no. And I said, why not, sweetheart? He said, if you try to help black people, you will be killed. And he said, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X. So I'm thinking to myself, IQ 265. See, now any person, I mean, can a black man drive his car, his new car, down the road at speed without wondering if he's going to get stopped and mistreated and possibly killed? He owns the car.
Oh, thank you.
So I'm talking about, in other words, see, this is maybe why we do so much loud music and so much dancing and singing so that we don't have to think about reality. See, this racism, white supremacy is a war. It's a war for white genetic survival by whatever means necessary. And so if everybody would face that and deal with that reality, and deal with the reality that when, you know, black man steps in his car in the morning to go to work, could he be stopped? An illegitimate stop. And maybe killed. So if we were focusing on that reality as opposed to the loud music drowning the reality out, whether it's listening to rap or listening to some church music, drowning out the reality of the precariousness of our situation. If we focused on that, then we would understand, well, Brother Obama, is he doing everything that I would like him to do? No. Absolutely no. But neither has any other of the presidents that have been there in my lifetime that I may have voted for. And this is why if we understood racism and understood that means me, And so how can I look at one black man as opposed to transform this whole system? And this is why I say we all have to understand. And by each person understanding and doing whatever bit they can do to help transform the system. And just like the little boy said, if you try to help black people, you can be killed. Now, was he right or was he wrong?
He was right, Dr. Welsing, but I believe, though, if we are at war, and I do believe we are at war, that if we're going to engage the enemy, whoever he may be or she may be, then we have to go into it understanding that there's going to be casualties. And that
how many people do you know have that understanding? And first, you see what I'm saying?
Many.
In other words, I'm saying even just the understanding of the position that President Barack Obama is in and being determined just because he is a black man. I am going to go and vote for him in this system that doesn't respect him and it doesn't respect me, meaning you. It doesn't respect us because we are black and we are perceived as a threat to white genetic survival. So I'm not putting any more pressure on him than I put on myself. I know the spot he's in because he's in the limelight. I'm just in my house. I'm speaking for you as another black man because I understand the system. And I'm doing the bit that I can. See, understanding the system itself is about 50% of the problem. If we understood at the 50% level, see, it would be like the tiny minority of white people understanding that 50% of the black people in this area of the world alone are no longer deceived about racism, are no longer willing to attack each other because they are busy focusing on the problem of racism, white supremacy. And they openly admit that they are afraid to do so. As a matter of fact, it was just a big convention of black men all over the United States gathering to talk about their fear of the white man. And they reported in the newspapers, there were reporters there from all over the world, and the reporters were asking, what are they going to do about their fear? And they said, we don't know because we are still afraid, but at least we're facing our fear.
They're saying.
We haven't been able to face it. We've been talking loud, jive talking, clowning, getting over, but now we are deciding to face the fact that we are really afraid. No, we don't know what we're going to do. We're just silently talking with each other, not threatening anybody. That's not the answer. We're just talking in confronting our reality and respecting ourselves as men. Now that
Thank you, Dr.
would
Whitman.
Transform. See, it's nothing like people who can face reality and talk about it because that's the first step. See, it's just like understanding racism, white supremacy, what it is, not sliding over the word racism. See, understanding that racism, white supremacy, is a system that the tiny minority of people who classify themselves as white have evolved for their genetic survival on this planet in economics, education, entertainment, labor law, politics, religion, sex, and war. What do they have to do? How many guns do they have to make? How many drones do they have to make? By any means necessary.
Then, Dr. Wilson, I feel then that if they are willing to die to sustain this system of white supremacy, then we have to be just as willing to die to overthrow it.
See, that's why they have black men calling themselves dogs and dancing around and calling themselves dogs and calling black women bitches. Because they have annihilated self-respect. Nobody who calls himself a dog is going to be in a posture of self-respect to defend themselves or defend their families. See, this is the importance of, we've got to degrade them and make them like it. We've got to see that they call themselves niggers and call it a form of endearment. Because if I can make them call themselves dogs and call their women bitches and call their children bow wows, I don't have a thing to worry about. Now that's where we are.
Sadly, I have to agree with that. But thank you for your insights, and I'll continue to listen to the rest of the program. Good night.
Thank you for your question. Thank you.
Thank you a ton, Dr. Wilson, for sharing your evening with us. As I said, anytime you're on the program, I know a whole lot of people, black people, are going to be tuned in to hear your views. We're just super appreciative. To close out, I just wanted to ask one final question. We had a white woman on the program just a couple days ago. Her name is Dr. Jane Hill, and she wrote the book, The Language of Everyday White Racism. And she talked about the way that white people use words to defend or excuse, refine the practice of white supremacy. And one of the, what I thought was one of the more important points that she shared, and she wrote this in the book too, she said that white people becoming more educated about racism, white supremacy, does not stop them from practicing racism. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I would, first of all, did she say she got her ideas from Neely Fuller's work?
No,
Neely,
ma'am.
Neely Fuller talking about white supremacy as a system being maintained in patterns of thought, speech, and action?
No, ma'am.
That in itself is interesting. And, you know, of course, in other words, see, she's not talking about racism as a system for white genetic survival, right? She's talking about everyday language, but she doesn't talk about what motivates that everyday language. And I'm saying what motivates it is the determination for white genetic survival and preventing white genetic annihilation on planet Earth. So the language that they use, or the fact that they're talking about racism, doesn't mean, you know, that's somebody saying I'm an anti-racist, meaning I can see where racism is a problem, but I'm not going to stop practicing racism. Because racism is essential for our white survival on the planet. See, that's like I was saying before, all of the white people who are in bed with black people, they're not forming a John Brown society to end racism, white supremacy. I haven't seen any of them start an organization to end white supremacy on the planet. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So, you know, every day, you know, there are people out there who, are, as I said, talk about whiteness theory and radical, whatever they call it, critical race theory and whiteness, et cetera. They're not talking about what racism really is, that it's a system that a tiny minority had to set up for their genetic survival on planet Earth. Now, they don't get there, so they can make a show. See, it's very important to have a show that we're not racist, and so I can write a book about language of everyday racism, but I'm not talking about ending white supremacy. See, that's like I can vote for Herman Cain. I can vote for Barack Obama, but I'm not talking about ending the system of racism, white supremacy. That's a whole other ball of wax.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess I hear a lot of non-white people saying that they think the problem is that white people don't know enough about racism, and we just need to do more to inform them, and that will stop them from practicing racism. And her
saying, like that, just say that those individuals don't know their history. In other words, what did Dr. Martin Luther King give his life for? You see, that we have to learn how to love one another. But people who classify themselves as white understand that love, white people, black people, white people, non-white people, loving each other means white genetic annihilation. See, I don't know what it would take for black people to get that in their heads. See, black people don't want to get that in their heads because they are, you know what, 99%, I mean, I'm Baptist, baptized Baptist, christened AME. Black people have deep, ground deep into their brain computers, and we can call it a form of Stockholm Syndrome. When we were formerly enslaved for hundreds of years and beaten and whipped and raped, just beaten, children sold away, husband and wives or mates sold away from one another. And so then the slave master told us that here's this white man on this picture, and this is the Son of God, and he loves red, yellow, black, and white. See, the prisoner wants to believe that one day the warden, the guard, is going to love him, her, treat them kindly. That's what beating people to death, taking their skin off, whipping them, raping them at will force the person to fall in love. At a call it love, meaning hoping, I hope. I mean, imagine Sally Hemings, I hope all these times this man, Jefferson, has had sex with me, I hope he will free my children. So because we've fallen in love and want to believe that one day, so the white people, you know, like the white people now are showing a whole lot of on TV. You see a white woman and next to her will be a grinning black man, like they're together. They might even have them embracing in some form or fashion. Never a black man and a black woman embracing and treating themselves with dignity. You know, she might talking to each other like that, but not ever respectfully, but you'll see a black man and a white woman, a black man and a white woman. This is to make black men think. Oh, now you can have the white woman. See, it's no problem. You can have her. You can have her. She loves you, etc. And so showing that and confusing and misleading so that the black people will not really understand racism. But at the same time, black men are incarcerated at record numbers. Black men are unemployed at record numbers. Black men cannot perform the function of husbands because they don't have jobs. They can't perform the role of fathers because they don't have jobs. And black men are becoming increasingly effeminized. And then in the movies and showing black men wearing dresses, I'll pay you a whole lot of money if you put on a dress, meaning I have completely demasculated you. Before I would cut off your genitals. Now I'm just needing to put you in a dress, and I will show that I have completely conquered you and destroyed your masculinity so I don't have to worry about genetic annihilation.
Context of white supremacy. Thank you so much for sharing some of your evening with us, Dr. Welsing. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
I commend you for having your show and, you know, having a forum where people can talk about topics of this kind.
Thank you. Hopefully we will use the information that you shared to get cracking to solve this problem and having more of us dedicated to putting racist man and racist woman out of business immediately. I'll say it one time before we sign out. It is an exercise in black mental health to refrain from name-calling and squabbling with other black people. Dr. Francis Kress Welsing, have a safe weekend, and please continue your critical work against racism, Dr. Welsing.
Thank you. You the same, and thank you to your audience for participating.
Absolutely. Have a great evening. We will be in touch with you soon, Dr. Wilson.
All right. Good night.
Mm-hmm. Good evening. Context of white supremacy. Always a pleasure to have Dr. Welsing on the program. Hope folks, you know it's a so-called holiday. White people, they give non-white people a little extra time and energy on the plantation for this so-called holiday. I hope people were able to gather some of their family and friends. If you all are spending time together, gather them around, and hopefully they could hear some of Dr. Welsing's views on what can be done to solve this problem as soon as possible. I thought excellent information from beginning to end, especially the part about having a better understanding of what's happening with President Obama. Certainly wouldn't say that, as she said, that he's done everything to help victims of white supremacy, but understanding racist man, racist woman will not allow him to do very much. Very important to have that understanding. As she said, just like us on our job, white people don't let us do everything we want to do. On the JOB, the plantation of white supremacy. We will be back tomorrow. That would be Friday, November 25th. Cisco Street Love, one of the listeners, made a comment when the whole scandal broke at Penn State and said, hey, maybe you should have Cisco Street Love back on the program to talk about the Atlanta child murders and the connection between that case and what happened at Penn State. I spoke with him. He did have quite a bit of information and just an opinion on what's been happening and how that relates to the whole tragedy, the so-called Atlanta child murders. He will be on the broadcast tomorrow evening, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And, you know, these child pedophilia rings, very organized, very codified, and, the Penn State, just the tip of the iceberg. Looking forward to having him on the broadcast tomorrow. We also will have a broadcast on Saturday, November the 26th. It'll be Saturday evening, same time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, the book on niggers and squirrels. Whole story behind how I found that. I'll share that probably on the program this Saturday. But, looking forward to Saturday, November 26th, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, on niggers and squirrels. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Hope it was a constructive investment of your Thursday evening. Try to take as much of this extra time and energy that white people have allowed us to have over the next 2 days. Not going to shop, not going to their malls, Dr. Cambon, buying gifts and a whole lot of stuff that we don't need. Try to invest that time and energy as constructively as possible, solving problems, sharing information on racism, white supremacy, doing something constructive to benefit, aid black people, non-white people under racism, white supremacy. Thank you all for tuning in. We will be back tomorrow. Justice's blog, justdojusticetoday.blogspot.com. We'll be back tomorrow. Cows signing out. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Thank you.